Also, Miss Meister, Mr. Manya and your team, let's see where the way is smiling behind you. officials from the department, ministries, and media. Mercedes Descent is also here with us. She just stepped in. We have two items. So initially we thought we have three. That would have constituted the minutes being the third one. We ended up having two. The minutes we have to deal with them in our next meeting. May we plead with members that we read the minutes, so that we don't have to start reading them in the meeting. I think that assists us. Our meeting is a follow-up to a session we had with NARPO, and the other part of our session shall deal with the matters related to disaster management, part of which will also cover climate change and programs that the department has. Today, we as decided upon at the time we met with NARPO, we also saw it fit that we include other entities, departments or agencies. I guess you only have the Department from Agriculture only here. If that is correct, I see the north. However, coordination was expected to take place between the various departments and agencies, all aimed at finding solutions to some of the issues raised in NARPO. The issues may not necessarily be matters for that constituency of NARPO per se, but broader constituency that talks to red meat production. We had resolved at the time that we need to come together with a plan as to how best we shall be able to address those issues. That's why we are here. And then, of course, as I said, you know, the whole matter related to disaster management. Okay. The Friday, we shall have a very short day, so that also whatever we do, we shall subscribe to that short day expectation. To the point, so that we are able to get to work together in a target of having to say, yes, we did indeed have a short day. Thanks, Mr. Manya. I take it that you are leading the delegation from the department. The floor is yours. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Chair and members. Thank you. Mortimer Manya is my name. I am acting Director General for these 2 weeks. But at the same time, I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for agricultural production, health, and food safety. I am with Dr. Thabiso Mtete, who is the Deputy Director General responsible for forestry, natural resource management, and she's here because of the disaster management. Jewel Mamabolo, who is the Director for Animal Production, and of course the Registrar in Livestock, and Mr. Keith Ramsey, who is a specialist within the animal production. we were you know, understanding and we're agreed to with NERPO will be here, but perhaps the major of the delayed. We have had an engagement with NERPO briefly because the chief executive officer was away for some time in Mozambique. But we have started some engagements, and largely from what NERPO raised at the committee, and the understanding was that we needed some to facilitate the department. An institutional support at NERPO would just be case study for facilitating support for the livestock farmers, particularly in the communal areas, the more complex area, and of course the land reform. And we will take you through the presentation we have, how we envisage it. I indicated previously, this would require quite a number of consultations with provinces, but we would give you conceptually how we are approaching this and the progress to date. Shall we go to the presentation? As you said, I will not necessarily go through the introduction that much, except that in terms of animal production, the communal farmers particularly rely on rain-fed rangeland as their main source or cheapest source of fodder. And for that reason, you also find that the communal areas, they are characterized by a low offtake and less commercialized than would have needed. The tenure systems there, and that's what NERPO raised there, the tenure systems are relatively quite complex, and this is where we felt we needed some multi-institutional collaboration to be able to provide the support the communal farmers would require with integrated and, of course, participatory systems. The elements of the support that the farmers would require would include the policy, would include strategy, legislation, it would include the technical support, and technical support will go through the whole range of support services. The farmers would require production support, market access, infrastructure, and of course the financial support. Now, what do we already have in the department? We've indicated in component that deals with the animal production. We have the legislation, we have the animal improvement policy, we have the National Livestock Development Strategy, and at the moment we are busy, the National Rangeland Monitoring and Improvement Program, and the National Wild and Forest Policy that will be published there. And other components in the department which are supporting, we have the one that deals with the Conservation of Agricultural Resources Act, the Smallholder Development and the Land Care that continually support the water care and the felt care. And we have other institutions which include the rural development on the land issues, the environment, environmental affairs, that would also deal with the impact assessments, the water affairs that would deal with water, and the South African National Biodiversity Institute that deals with the grassland biomes. Okay, next slide. Then, perhaps just to say that we are currently working on the range and forage policy that provides a framework for facilitating the sustainable management of the field and forage resources for livestock production, with the capacity to ensure there is a compliance to appropriate legislation. And key to these policies would be the promotion of the use of indigenous livestock genetic material and ensuring that there is an integration of departmental farm support initiatives and, of course, market availability and access. Now, in terms of our engagement with NERPO, we have identified who do we need to come on board. In addition to the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development require them for providing the support on access to land and the necessary infrastructure, because largely these areas would form part of the rural areas and therefore rural development programs. Water affairs around the water rights and permits, but also the boreholes and some areas they would provide for that. The environment, in terms of the environmental legislation, the COCTA, together with the traditional authorities around the coordination on the use of communal land. There were parastatal ARC and the ARC's Animal Improvement Institute. The SANBI is more on the grassland biome activities. For the other producers organization, in addition to NERPO, that are representing and are the voice of the farmers, we do need and we will engage the various organizations that are dealing with the scientific organizations that are dealing with livestock-related issues, the universities and colleges, and most important, of course, will be the provincial and the local government. Provincial government, because this project, and as I said previously, you don't have a national area. It's the local areas, and therefore the local government, in terms of making sure that this project form part of their IDPs, but the provincial department, in terms of the support that they provide, we would engage them. We have agreed that we have started and give progress. We have already done with some of those institutions. But we agreed with NERPO, we'll identify the pilot areas. They did propose three areas, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and Mpumalanga. And I think Northwest. We would agree on those where we would start once we have started engaging with them and other institutions. And we have agreed that we will review the existing and relevant programs within the various national departments that support, for instance, in rural development and reform, what programs are there that support the emerging farmers in the environment, what would impact on the farmers, so that we pull all those together for the right mid-term producers. And then we will establish a national stakeholder working group and we would take largely the main institutions. The other ones, we will just consult them on an ongoing basis. But there would be a few key ones who would be on a working group, and we would do then the consultations in those areas, which we believe would be facilitated largely by the provincial departments. And we will also, of course, have to enter into a memorandum of understanding with some of the service providers, including, of course, our arrangement with NERPO. We would want to formalize it. What you do not have, Chair, and that's the last slide we just added, it's on the progress. We have consulted already with the rural development. We've identified the relevant unit in rural development that we will be working with. Of course, our ARC, Animal Production Institute, we have the engagement that we have with the House of Traditional Leaders. There was a presentation done to them, I think, yesterday. We have some working arrangement with them around the communal areas, and we will be engaging them both on the policies but also on this arrangement, because they play a major role in the allocation, the land use in the communal areas. And we are busy, of course, at the moment, making sure we finalize this policy for publication that would be required. This is where we are at the moment, and largely we will then take on the provinces so that in those areas where we would have identified and pilot in the two provinces that we have agreed with now. Thank you, Chair.
So, to the point, I also thought you would say something about the National Cultivation Council, the programs that they are involved in. What they
yes.
do, they have a similar program with the ARC. To an extent, of interest it is to find synergy between the two
yes.
and have one program that helps to support for your livestock, by and large, your communal livestock. Call it fattening of threatening program.
Yes.
You want to wrap it up on that note as well?
Yes, Chair. We take all the parties out, and this would be, you're right, we should have included that, but also the OBP, because we're talking to OBP around, you know, packaging in an accessible form the requirements for the animals for the small farmers at that level. Yes, we would take in those on board. Thank you.
Members, that is a presentation from the department. If any questions, comments, Mrs. Steele. No, that Mr. Pilkinson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Unfortunately, I missed the presentation with NARBU, but I read the PNG documents. I know what the discussion was, Chair, and I think I also understand the issues that was in the discussion at that day, because I'm a farmer myself, but I also work in the areas, in the communal areas, and I understand the issues very well, of problems in the areas. Chairperson, my concern is, and I've mentioned it in the past, and I think it's important that we discuss it here today again. It is not only about the management of the felt and improvement of the animals by bringing in new breeds or stock or whatever. There needs to be a process from the beginning, and we can start with things like animal health. Animal health in those areas is a problem. I've said it in the past, I will say it again, and I want to make an example to the acting DG, maybe you're not aware of it. I visited my constituency in June, July last year, and I went to all the Department of Agriculture offices, and I wanted to see specifically what are we doing on animal health and animal improvement. And I must tell you, I was shocked. There are many animal health technicians out there, but they have no capacity in the form of equipment, even things like vehicles, transport. There was at that stage a moratorium on how many kilometers they can travel, that kind of thing. So if you can't do the basic things, and another example, Acting DG, in the office in McClay, it wasn't McClay, it was Dan Fletcher. They have a fish, no feeding compartment, nothing to, when they take the vaccines out, they put it in a school bag and go out for the day, go and vaccinate animals that come back in the evening. So there is nothing to keep the vaccine cold, like hand cold in the office, but the moment they take out of there. And at that stage, the second time I visited them, it wasn't in winter time, it was summer, and they were busy doing rabies vaccines. It was supposed to be, I think it was November or something, I can't remember. So I told the guys, listen, we are actually making this problem bigger. We need to find out, are you adding to the problem here, or what is happening? So Chipperson, I wanted the acting DG to know that he needs to go back and look at what is available currently. And if you want to start in your quiet areas, these things is the first thing that you have to look at, the capacity of the department itself in that area. Things like stay beds, you know, we don't have enough that. The state vet in McClay worked from his own office table. His desk is his operating table. And the guy is passionate, he wants to do his job, he's doing a good job, but he doesn't have anything. So I'm really making a plea here. We can do whatever we want. We can bring in bulls, we can bring in rams, we can fence the area, we can do what we want, but if we can't do these basic stuff with those things, animal health, then, Chair, we can forget it out. We're going to pump in a whole lot of money, which I support. I think it's long overdue that we had to start with animal improvement in those areas. It's going to cost a massive effort to put in fencing, to put in boreholes to make sure that there's a system. And then I don't even want to go to things like marketing and all of that. It's a long way before we really start doing those things. But if we don't start with the basic things, Chair, and I want to tell you some one last example in my constituency. I visited the Sparks Place, which is next to the Lister border. And I had an expert with me, a friend of mine, who was there to do some work in the commercial area, who's an expert on borsleiter and what's borsleiter in English? I don't know, borsleiter and ticks and those things. And I asked him just to come with me one day, and we went and we looked at the animals and whatever. And as in that community, there is dipping tanks, and the department comes every 6 weeks or however, and come dip the animals. But animals are full of borsleiters and ticks. Full. And I asked the farmers there, because the department didn't want to come with the chair because they said I'm from the opposition party and they don't work with the opposition. They will only work with the governing party. Although I explained to him this has got nothing to do with politics. It's tax break. There is this violent protest going on. I told him it's got nothing to do with politics. We are having an expert here. We want to teach the animal health technician something, and, well, let's not go there. But in any case, I asked the farmer, does the animal health technicians actually check your animals on a regular basis to see if they've got borsleiters and ticks and things like that? No. They just come and they pull the dip and they go. So I'm really making a plea here, Che. We mustn't just look at those things. We must start from scratch, going back, making sure that our own department has got the capacity, that our people actually do have the training that needs to work with the farmers. Otherwise, we are going to spend a whole lot of money, because money doesn't always solve the problem. We need to start with the department and the capacity on the ground. Thank you, Jim.
Hello, thank you, department, for your presentation. Chairperson, I'm looking at page 7, animal improvement, and I started to ask myself worry, because we were told about the Ghana Fajal home. Why don't they use one method in the whole country, unlike using the piece? And if Ghana Fajal home is good, why can't the whole country use that kind of animal improvement? Because we will start using the pieces, which really it does help at the end of the day. What I'm saying is that why can't they focus on one system of improving the livestock? And again, Chairperson, on page 12, but you covered me when they talk about the scientific organization, whereas we have our ARCs, NAMC, and even the OPP. Why they don't involve them? Because we have them already. We have them. We don't say they must not bring up, but we have the first priority. They must focus on what we have. And again, Chairperson, the NERPU issue. I see that there are many organizations. Agri South Africa and so on and so on, including NERPO. I think, Chairperson, we must not work these things in a piecemeal. Because, yes, NERPO came to us, they presented whatever, But you see, there are many organizations too. I think when we work with NERPO, we should, you know, also embrace every organization so that we must not take one. Since they are, you know, Nama Inkut will like to say, let's embrace all of them so that we must not work in piecemeal, working with them. And another is this project which you want to start, and maybe NERPO will be a study. We want to study it in Limpopo, mainly this rural provinces. But KZN is not there. You know, even in the Western Cape, there are rural places. I think all the provinces, they need that. But the project, yes, it must be start somewhere. But at the end of the day, it must spread. If that project really is going to help, it has to spread to all provinces. And that is my input. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mine is on the NERPO. You said you have started a plan of action to address the concerns raised by NERPO. I just want to check how far are you with the plan up to now. And then the second one is on the issue of policy. You said you are about to finalize the policy. I also want to check the time frame. You said you are just about a week, a month, or how long can you finalize this? Thank you. Your
Chair, there was just a question on also linked to my colleague's question on the stakeholders. Who would it be the main stakeholders in this discussion or the forum that you want to start, so that we know that we don't only include the one lot, but then I think, you know, even people like the guys, the feedlots or people like that can give some good input in your discussions, that we don't exclude people because they're not primarily responsible, but they might be later on in the value chain be responsible.
Thank you. I think that was the main reason why we took a view that suggests that NERPO and department must go away and come back with a clear plan. So that looks at how best you want to collaborate with other state entities and also departments. You, Mama, you are correct in suggesting that you have practices that are working. Don't forget to home. I call it right at the time. Now, this is your best case strategy to life. And the issue whether or not we should reinvent the wheel, that's exactly what we are doing here now. To a point where we even said, let us have a pilot, or let us have pilots, if you like. I think our oversight role is made easier. The issues you are raising, Mama Stein, equally, we talk to these three points that we were above. We identified vaccination, we identified, you know, all of everything that talks to improvement of our livestock. To an extent, you want to say whether you're going to be addressing the RAM issues in the Eastern Cape or anywhere in the country. And again, what I like most about this approach is that it is commodity focused an approach. You talk to a particular commodity that talks to red meat, whether it is sheep or it is, you know, cattle, you name them, goats. Now that we had agreed that we need to come together here again, we receive a plan as to how best to go forward, taking care of all the issues raised by members here. Of interest, therefore, we should be asking a question as to when do we start. Whether we agree with the pilot areas identified. This is your Northwest, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo. Our work is made easier in that regard because we shall then be saying, in Province A, we have this coordinated collaboratively, that English word, that begins to say, here we give each other 6 months. We want to come back. Of course, we might have to get back to the area in 3 months or so, halfway through, and be able to say, how far are we? What success story can we talk about? Because what we hear all the time are stories that are really not taking us far in terms of support. That's what NERCO was about. Support programs that are sustained, that are able to see us moving forward. To an extent, we have to be able to say, in terms of animal health, where are we? Included in that animal health must be about training as well for those farmers themselves. Because those farmers themselves, they have to have skills so that they're not spoon-fed. So the pilot begins to say, this is supposed to be a case in point in time that says we are now moving forward. It is the farmers themselves who must carry forward after that pilot. Because you're not going to have departments forever there. Yes, support is expected. But the farmers must literally, if you like, get them to be kick-started. Those communal lives of farmers. That's what we are really, you know, wanting to achieve at the end. Welcome, Mama Palisa. So I don't know whether TG, you want to take us through on that actual plan itself, so that we are able to see implementation.
When NERPO appeared before the committee and they raised their need for support, one thing that became very clear was that although there are elements of the support required, it is scattered within government. There is land issue. And instead of saying to NERPO, go to rural development, the approach is to develop an institutional support model that will include all the departments. And the Department of Agriculture assists NERPO in facilitating our sister departments to provide what NERPO needs. One of the issues they raised was around electricity. Instead of just sending them to public enterprises and ESCOM, we would want to work with those institutions to say, this is the support a livestock farmer in a communal area requires. How do we make sure we have a working model? Because in this case, NERPO was representing their own farmers. But we said if we do that, develop that model, it would work, for instance, for Conservation South Africa that is trying to work with the farmers in KwaZulu-Natal and in the Eastern Cape, particularly, and I think the Western Cape. But the issue is around really developing a model that would make sure the various support systems virtually you have a one-stop shop for the support system. Chair, just if I go quickly through the issues that have been raised on the animal health, we are aware of the challenges, and I believe we're going to appeal for the committee just to give feedback on the plan for revisiting and improving on the veterinary services. And I can just say that we are working on that plan and we're going to report. But we are also, and I'm sure this would have been reported before, working on a plan through the funding that we received from Treasury for improving the primary animal health care services in the rural areas. And we will report on that also. We will report on the capacity and, of course, the monitoring when we report. We are aware. And, Chair, the members would appreciate also that the veterinary services at the moment, and I'm sure when Red Meat Industry reported here previously, they have raised that. The Veterinary Council did raise the same issue that because the veterinary services is a concurrent function between us and the provinces. It is that alignment that we need to get right with the provinces because the issue of lacking, for instance, transport, those are the decisions that are made by the provincial head of agriculture. And we're trying to see how we can make sure that we close that gap between the in the matrix reporting, between the technical, which is the veterinary, going through national and the particular management in the province. The count factor, I sympathize with you because I'm sure the language used could be creating confusion. Count factor literally means in English livestock improvement or cattle improvement scheme, which is part of the totality of the livestock improvement. It's just that element of the livestock improvement is cattle improvement. So it is exactly the same system that is available, and it is this facilitation we want to make sure that NERPO will say to NERPO, there is already this facility. How do we make sure you get that facility for your members? It is already there. It is a departmental program, and all other programs that we have and that other government departments have, we want to just make sure we put them together in one package and make arrangements. How do the various interest groups in livestock receive those? And perhaps while the intent of the stakeholders, you will remember that the Red Meat Industry Forum did appear before the committee. NERPO is part of the red meat industry. And I think they did mention the other day when they were reporting here that some of the issues that we needed to report back to the Red Meat Industry Forum, we have reported to them, they have acknowledged that, and we will also continue to engage with them even within the broader forum. But in this particular case, it's an institutional support model for the communal livestock producers, because largely the members of NERPO, what they indicated, are in those areas. The question of the scientific organizations, why do we include them? It is because, you have, for instance, the Gasland Society. The farmers will be members of the various societies that are working with a specialist in particular areas. This will not replace what the AFC is doing, and therefore we are bringing them in because you would always find some of the farmers, some of the extension officers are members of these various professional bodies. And I have already indicated in terms of organizations, we are, this same model that we are developing, we are talking also to Conservation South Africa, that is also working in the communal area. And the model that we will develop with NERPO would apply to the other institutions, and we will be taking them on board. Why few provinces? When NERPO raised their interest, it's in the immediate, it's in those areas where they have members, and largely they have their members in Northwest, in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga, in Eastern Cape, but the model, once it works, it will work for all the areas, and we can only start in a particular place as we develop the model. But in the end, with this model, as we improve the model and get it applied, it will apply virtually in the provinces. In terms of the policy, we do expect that this policy will be finalized by August. and tell you us when they start. When we were instructed by the committee at the last sitting, I did indicate that when we come back today, given the limited time, we would give you conceptually how we're going to approach this. But we need to take the province on board, and that's what we have started doing, because we don't want to leave the provinces behind. The majority or the large bulk of the services that we are providing will be provided and are provided in the provinces. We want to coordinate and facilitate nationally the national programs that are there in the various departments, but ultimately they have to be implemented at the provincial level. So we would be, I believe in the coming month or two, we will have worked out the total plan of how we're going with the time frames. But today, as I indicated, we're going to present to you the conceptual approach to this model. Thank you.
I think members will agree that what we are really looking for here, it is a plan that must be implemented so that we begin to address the issues. You know, as to whether there are going to be provinces to be taken on board, whether you're going to be having your red meat industry forum, of interest to us. Again, it talks pretty much to our oversight role that is made easier and simpler. Because you shall be having, yes, you do have your other coordinating forums like SIP, your strategic infrastructure program that begins to pull together almost everybody who talks infrastructure in that specific area of rural development and agriculture or food security. You have structures of that nature in place. To an extent, whatever you are to be doing, it might find itself almost on the thin line of that SIP 11, if you like. But here, we are more about putting together a form of support that is focused on communal livestock farming. Whether you're going to be talking about vaccination, you're going to be talking about all your, what you call those, extension service officer, your ARP in terms of their expertise on the science part of it. Now, these are all ingredients for that object that begins to say, here is a pilot that pull together everybody in terms of support. At the end, you are able to see progress and a way forward, and clearly identified. So that's what we are interested in. And again, it is very much commodity-based. I think that's what, to an extent, I am hearing that, you know, in a month or two, we are going on research now. End of the week. Effectively, we're back sometime beginning of August, practically. Yes, we are back here end of July. But practically, we're back here beginning of August. So if we can program on our program here a feedback to that effect, where we have such a plan going forward, with all the provinces being taken on board, I think that that's what we really need to see happening. I think in that way, we shall be able to say to ourselves, we are going forward. And Mrs. Stein, and Mrs. Phillips, here's my answer.
Chairperson, yeah, I think one of the other biggest challenges would be the whole land issue. As you know, we've just had 2 days, or Friday and Saturday, discussing the 1939 Act and consequences of what was going on there. But one thing that I was just reminded of, Chairperson, there was a gentleman from the Department of Agriculture represented at that 2 day discussions. He deals with one of the issues which would fall under him is the division, the subdivision of agricultural land, but apparently they're busy doing a mapping of the country on, because we discussed this issue specifically, on which land is to be used for cultivation, which for whatever purposes, and the best land that must not be used for other issues rather outside of agricultural use. And he mentioned that I think Limpopo was already met. And I think, Chairperson, if we want to start something now, it would be a great example if we can start with things like that. So that we don't now go and start using very good land for plowing and put animals on it and start developing it for this kind of things. That we look at it from the beginning. Start with identification of the correct pieces of land. So that we don't do something now and then later on we see, okay, no, this area was actually better suited for irrigation purposes or whatever. That's the one thing, Chair. And the other thing, and I'm glad actually that we're having a discussion about mitigation and what's happening on disaster after this meeting, or what is this, the second part of this meeting. Because I got a reply back, Chair. I don't know if you remember during this year earlier, I asked a question about 700 cattle that died in Mpumalanga last year. I asked the department, I'm not happy with the full result of that question. I'll do a follow-up question, because one of the answers, one part of the answer that came out, this was as a result of drought. So, Chair, I think the planning of this needs to take into consideration the areas, the drought, planning regarding that, because the reason why I'm asking is, and I think back on our presentation in the beginning of the year from the department, one of the things that went up the most for farmers was animal feed. If you take electricity and all these other things, the biggest drive was on animal feed. So your planning must include things like animal feed, so that you are putting this next to an area where planting would take place, so that you don't just use the fell. Especially in this year, it's very dry. You can, I'm just thinking of a whole lot of things, Chair, because I'm really passionate about improving, and you know I've been moaning about land care and management and that we don't properly put these things in place, but all these things need to be taken into consideration, and especially I would propose that if you do the planning, take that land mapping people in your department with you, make sure that we use the correct areas for this, so that we don't come back later and say, okay, no, this area was actually better suited for irrigation purposes, and now we've put on a whole lot of money already on the ground to put animals there. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, before the end of this term, maybe before the end of this year, if maybe we can go and visit one or two successful stories about animal improvement or town of at home. What I know and what I have seen is in the Northwest. I still remember one time, it was before Mr. Manya arrived, I was asking the department, is this kind of material welcome all over the province? They said no, in some provinces. What I'm sure of, what I've seen, is in the Northwest. And it was not created by us, that one. It was created by the old because I asked them, when I saw their livestock, it was so fit, beautiful, but in the rural area, I asked them, Cora, how did you arrive? They said, no, in the olden days, Mangobe helped us with the bush. That's why you see all our animals are like this. They don't have the community to survive. They have the home with people. Maybe if we can be able to go and see what are we talking about when we say down our home, so that even other members who are not Pidgin speaking, you know, they can't even produce Ghana Pajaroko, you know, that thing is very difficult language for them, so that they can see what is the meaning of a life improvement. I would like to accept, yes, it's very good, I've seen it in Northwest, but I would like to see it in Mpumalanga, in Free State, in Limpopo, you know, Gauteng, I don't know if they are rural areas, I don't know, in KZN, Eastern Cape, and all these provinces, Northern Cape, all these, you know, like rural provinces, because it is a good model. I've seen it in the Northwest, but I don't know where are ourselves. I don't know where in which place, where we have started, not Mangope, where we have started. I would like to see that a successful story. And the thing is, no, Chatterson, and also, when we talk about animal feed, always animal feed must go with the land. And we have the rural development and land reform, which, you know, it's like a twins with agriculture. They overlap so much because their restriction is land. Whereas in the agriculture, we need land to grow agriculture. And it's where the land will come in. The Department of Land Reform will come in. So that we get together and see or in Tweriberegalan. Everybody can see it. The Benini means this thing is everybody can see it. The Benini, and even when you pass, you see it. Oh, this is it. Thank you.
The Benini. I think the issues are straightforward, Tumtiji. They say, we've heard your approach. It is good. You probably have to add a few. All what we're interested in now is a plan that we can say. At this time, we're starting with this process. So that we are not talking forever. We want to see more of practice. The point raised by Mama is a case in point. To understand, you might be able to say, here is a model that works. How to replicate that model? If it has to be perfected, those are the details you have to deal with, together with all the stakeholders that we shall have identified. As I said earlier on, of interest, I guess also for us here, here is to leave the legacy that says, in approaching our oversight work, we took this much time in getting to a point where, and I remember, you know, those first few days when we started, some of those in the industry, you know, almost immediately without knowing much, we're hammering on having to have your commodity groups coming and be with us. Come and meet with the commodity groups. Understand it now. And I guess that's the only approach that can really take us forward. Focus on this commodity. See it working, see it flourishing, see our people getting jobs, see our people getting more and more enterprises, skills, all what it takes. At the end of the day, there is food security in our country, which is what brings us together. So that we're not talking about policies forever. So that we're not talking about plans forever. We are able to say to ourselves, as Mama is saying, if you are driving past any village, you can see evidently
here is a project that is bearing fruits, that is giving jobs, that is producing enterprises, that is making sure that our country is benefiting from security of food. I think that's what we are trying to do here. And we are saying that the beginning of August, we should be able to have that plan when we come back. So we'll give you time, at least while we shall be on recess, for you to coordinate with all the stakeholders you shall have identified. I think that that's how we should conclude it, but if that is what we're agreeing upon. Unless you want to make a comment, Mr.
So we will proceed to develop a plan. I do, however, not want to create an expectation that a committee may feel misled them. The communal areas are very unique and very complex. I want to say commercial farmers who are farming on private land, their farming is relatively easy because all the controls are there by one person. Communal areas, you have to work on the participatory processes because you have a number of people, those who are interested and those who are not interested on the same land. And we can decide, do we want to use the Mangope system, bring in the police, the army, to force these people, or take them along, educate them, make them willingly want to improve and succeed. And I want to say, the improvement is not only in Northwest, and I would want to take you along in Limpopo. You actually have some of the better breeds that are adaptable, because the bigger breeds where you don't have the grazing are a problem that we will be dealing with in the 700 animals that you have. When you have big breeds, there is no land, there is no grazing. In the bad times, they don't survive, they go under. But Uguni, which doesn't look very big, it's very adapted, very suited, and it is becoming a big desire, not only in South Africa, even in Australia. So you have those relatively very successful program in Limpopo on the Nguni. But we will come to you, Chair, with a plan. Thank you.
Okay. Then that shall take us to the next briefing on disaster management. Well, as we are setting up, we have requested members if you could read the minutes for next week on Tuesday so that we don't take much time. The other issue that I wanted us to look into, because we are also expected to finalize the program for the next term, if members can make comments on that. We need to do that because we also need to secure venues, among others, so that when we get the draft program, we are able to get members to respond almost urgently, so that we are able, as I said, you know, to secure your best of venues that you always complain about. The reason, among others, why we are not able to get, if you like, nicer venues, it is because we do not respond in good time. As a result, our program, when it gets submitted or submitted, it does not get, because we're submitting late, it does not get prioritized in terms of venue availability. Okay, it is going to be circulated to members. Members, as I promised, by 11:30 we shall be out of here. We're not going to take much of time. Dobotelo, call here.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. My name is Ntabiseng Mudidi, responsible for forestry and natural resource management. And disaster risk management and climate change are within our area of work in natural resource management, as well as some of the reference that was made to land use and management and soil issues as well, and some of the work that we do on irrigation schemes. So our natural resource management is quite broad to provide productivity support to farming, to fish, to forestry, but also issues of disaster risk and climate change to support fisheries as well, the whole bouquet of the portfolio of the department. I have brought along here a colleague, Mr. Galasen Kakate, who is actually on sabbatical, just finishing his PhD on disaster in disaster risk management in agriculture. He's been with the department for quite a while. We know that the presentation we presented to you is pitched at the work of the directorate that is responsible. I think our page 3 specifically says what directorate does in this area of work. We also take cognizance of the fact that you want to be out of here by 11:30, and since we've given you a very detailed program in terms of our consultative work with the provinces, I'll encourage my colleague to keep it to the point. Mr. Khakati, can you kindly take members through the presentation?
Yes, good morning, Chair Patton. Thanks, DDG. I'll go through quickly into the presentation. I did present this presentation last time, but today we are supposed to give the progress on what our client for us to go through last time. But I'll just maybe start with the on page 4. One of the things that we're here to try to come and talk about the plans. Last time we reported that we have got this disaster risk management plan, the overarching document. The document was created in last year, December 2012. Currently, we are planning to now go on the ground to the public and discuss it through in all 10 provinces, but we're planning to have only 3 provincial workshops and invite other provinces maybe to be able to attend those. We are planning those from June to November. This is the Corona Risk Management and Umbrella. The next plan that we have been working on in Canada also is the Coastal Management Plan. The plan has been already gone through within the department. We're currently discussing through the management so we can take it further to address it and workshop at the provincial level. When you look at the institutional arrangement, one of the things that we have is the committee that is trying to take the strategies and in a way doing information in a way of trying to address the issue of reducing risk. So we've got this committee that is normally is meeting 4 times a year, and what normally does it assess the current weather conditions and the status of the provinces and look at what the weather forecasts are saying in the long term. And then this committee then draft some strategies and advises to the farming community and disseminate this information on the ground. We've got another committee that's the National Agriculture Risk Management Committee. This committee is represented by the provincial as well as the other technical institutions, include ARC, Water Service, as well as Organized Agriculture. It also gives us the broader advice on the issue regarding the disaster risk within the sector. We have also been mandated by the NDMC, National Disaster Management Center, as a sector to be able to share in the National Drought Management Task Team. This NDTT also look at what are the current conditions and then consolidate the report from the provinces and then submit to NDMZ for any other needs, any requests, and also look at the measures. Currently, what the committee has done, we have been working on identifying indicators for the drought, and these indicators are going to be disseminated to all within the sector so that they can look and see how they have to address those issues. We've got the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum, this way as a sector, we represent the department in that NDMC, where we are discussing the general disaster risk management issues. Okay, then I'll go to page disaster response and management, looking at mitigation and prevention. we are able to get some funding from National Treasury to address the mitigation and prevention measures. This follows when we look at the Disaster Management Act. It focuses more on addressing the mitigation and prevention. So we're giving the fund to try to make sure that we address the risk issues. One of them was to look at the drilling of boreholes in some, especially communal areas, try to construct some fire breaks where necessary, and also do the awareness for some of the farming community need to be aware of the risk they might be facing and how are they supposed to be addressing. This fund is also used to address the research so that we can be able to identify some measures for areas that as a sector we need to be able to look at and address those in a long-term and peace accessible, especially vulnerable areas. See, how then do we have to address those vulnerable communities from the research itself? We don't have the early warning systems that broadly need to be implemented within the sector. It's as we said, one of the Disaster Act, it said risk reduction. So this system we implemented to make sure that at least before we are affected by disaster or hazard becomes a disaster, we've got measures that we can reduce that. So this early warning system, when it's really effectively implemented, it will really assist the community. When we address the early warning system, one of the things, the other one is the awareness and capacity building. We have found out when we're going around that some of these hazards are not known to our community, so we need to broaden the awareness. The capacity building has been another challenge that with this new technology regarding the weather, we need to also capacitate our farming community or even extension so that they're able to understand and take this strategies and how we have to deal with the hazard we are faced with. As well as continuing the disaster response, the drought, maybe I can just talk exactly what's really happening now. The early warning committee, what normally also says, is look at all the hazards and monitor. So last year and this year, the broader part of the province and other, some of the province, they didn't receive good rains, and that has also resulted in now when we are going to the winter that now they are sort of in a serious situation. So this committee also look at those issues and also advise throughout the province what are the actions need to be taken and address them. We've got the plan to address the drought. This plan was finalized and currently will going to be discussed at policy level at MINTEC and MINMEC. It has already been discussed and gazetted. It was discussed by the technical sectors, organized agriculture, and all the other role players. We also need to get approval from the high level at MINMEC and MINTEC for the implementation of this document. Anyway, I talked about the current conditions. We know there was a lot happening in the provinces. Northwest is the one that's currently hard hit, and we're addressing this with the disaster center, both the provincial and national, to try to declare the area a disaster area so that the funding that can assist the farming community, both in the reservoir and in the livestock water facilities. One of the things again regarding the first fires, we know previously that we also hit by third fires. We have also working on this draft plan regarding the field fires. We might, as we are coming to this season, not maybe experience a lot of field fires because of the less rainfall that we receive from the previous season, that we don't have a lot of fuel load. That's why when we are in the drought, there is not enough fuel on the ground for the field fires. But this process plan, the plan will try to address the field fires in the sector. And this document is also within the department going around for the consultation. The flood management plan, this also was, I'm sure previous years, also been hit by this flood. And we have also developed this plan. It was also discussed through within the department and within the sector. It's currently supposed to be presented first at MINTEC, and then it will be going to be gazetted. But in the meantime, while we're drafting this plan, we have further developed the coping strategies for the flood in line with the flood management plan. We have finalized the document, and we are currently going to publish this document in all official languages and made available to the farming community. The other one we look at, you know, we'll talk to the 2011 flood assistance that we, when we were here, we talked about the money given. This financial year, the allocation was 298,959 million. But the rest of the chunk of the money was given to Northern Cape 23084. I know this is a discussion because this province previous fund was not spent, and the minister in her speech proposed that this fund need to be redirected to other disasters for the province to implement. Another thing was what we experienced last year was there were three provinces, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Western Cape. They also experienced floods. So Western Cape was in June 2011 and Mpumalanga 2012. And this process verification was done by the expert from NDMC, and the request was submitted to National Treasury. During the Minister of Finance budget speech, they raised the issue that they don't have currently funding, but they plan to allocate some funding to these three provinces to address the flood damages of those during those years. One of the components that this unit is addressing is regarding the migratory pest control. We've got the quailer, we've got locust, and then we've got the fly. The pest. Most of this pest, like the locust, they appeared in the anomaly in Northern Cape. Some they can go, if they are not well controlled, go over to Eastern Cape. So we have been able to control most of the swarms over the Northern Cape. But another challenge is we are lucky that the outbreak was not so much like previous years, and these are also weather controlled. That means maybe the weather didn't really emerge as regarding the weather conditions. The quailer is controlled throughout the provinces, for the Northwest, Limpopo, Mpumalanga. We did control, and I'm sure most of the farming community, when they are experiencing this quailer control, they need to approach our unit and let us know that so we can go and control it. The red fly was also experienced normally along the rivers in Northern Cape. We did make that control because it's also making an influence on the farming community. One of the things that we raised as challenges and the prioritization of the disaster relief schemes and the risk reduction. This is generally a challenge that we are trying, as we look at the Act 1, the risk reduction focus, but on the ground, disaster relief schemes are sort of the one getting a challenge. But what we are seeing is awareness campaigns when we try to educate and train so that the mindset are changed to address the prioritization of the disaster response and recovery instead of the addressing risk reduction. Another one was the capacity within the provinces. We are tried hardly to make sure that the capacity of these units are created within the province. There are those provinces that already have the units, but they are not capacitated. We have even undertaken in terms of the research and give out the research that has been taken by one of the University of Northwest Potchefstroom to do a visibility study and look at the institutional arrangement throughout the sector and try to unpack how ready we are, and intended to use this visibility the report so that we can approach as National Treasury to assist us to fund the unit in the province so that we are able to respond immediately in addressing risk reductions of post-disaster. Yeah, currently I'm sure we are all aware that the frequency of natural hazards has increased, and we are still thinking that we need to emphasize more on research so that we can develop adaptation strategies. There's also discussion on insurances. I know National Treasury previously, but last year they also started looking at maybe the issue of insurance might be a way of us to go. So this is currently being discussed with the insurance industry. We also look at the monitoring of locusts. It also has been a challenge because this normally breed within the farming sector. So monitoring becomes a challenge. As we are, as a unit at national level, responsible to monitor this. We think that we will now involve the province to assist us in monitoring so that we can be able quickly to respond if they are able to pick up, especially by using the extension services. The other one is the challenge we have is also the quilla, where they normally breed. It becomes a challenge for us as national to monitor. So we still say, if you use the expertise of the province to assist us in monitoring where they are breeding, we can assist us in the quick response in addressing. In conclusion on that, broadly, we are currently implementing the prevention and mitigation of the disaster risk fund over the MTF, and we expect this fund will assist. I know this fund is addressing all the disasters, including the animal health issues, plant health issues, so it's broadly really being used in the sector. The sector is not enough, but we think that if we can expend that money, we can be able to approach the National Society to get more funding. One of the things that we're addressing in the recent foundation is the research throughout international. If we focus more on disaster relief funding, sometimes the farming community are reluctant to take up risk reduction measures. These are the things that we need to also focus on when we are implementing our plans. As this is already being strengthened or even highlighted as a priority in the Disaster Management Act, that disaster risk reduction are the way as a country we need to go instead of focusing on relief measures, so that the communities can be resilient in farming throughout the country. Thanks.
Why don't you take one sort of briefing, and then we'll respond to all of them. We're fine with that number. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll also go through quickly into the one regarding the climate change mitigation adaptation program. In our last meeting, we also presented that we've already got that sector plan finalized, but we'll just maybe go through quickly and tell a little where we are at the moment. I'll jump back down. One of the things, priority and policy directive for planning and adaptation response, that the plans we are adopting, when we address adaptation, we're looking at reducing the vulnerability. When you adapt, if ever we are saying when the climate change is here, there's nothing that we can do, so we need to find out the strategies of adapting so that we are able to produce food for the country. We have created the umbrella sector plan by January. This document is going to be part of the discussion throughout the provinces in those three workshops identified to get more input from the public. But during the 2012-2013, we are also developed or drafting the mitigation adaptation plan specifically for agriculture and forestry. Because by that time we had more information that give us more way of trying to come up with this adaptation strategy. But the fisheries will be looked at in the next coming years. The adaptation to the water climate change class to try to look at if ever there is a change and how vulnerable are the community, how do we intend as a sector continue producing whatever we want to produce if under the circumstances will be there. Some researchers are saying it becomes wetter, you know, wetter in the eastern and dry in the western. So whatever commodities or variety are currently being produced in those areas, in the long term, we need to find out that if we have to adapt, what are the variety that will be really relevant to be able to use. One of the things is within the world is even if agriculture are affected by climate change, you are also responsible for emitting greenhouse gases. So we need also to come up with the plans of making sure that we reduce the greenhouse gases within the sector as a whole. We've got this document that we hand out last year ago to the members that was analyzing the greenhouse gases within agriculture. So we've got this document that we are available for us. One of the things that when we need to address in mitigation where the gases are, we will need to get the agricultural burning. There are some gases that normally are emitted. from the soils, from the manure, from the livestock feedlots, as well as inorganic fertilizers. This is where from our the document that we have, they've picked up that's where the greenhouse gases are emitted. So we need to come up with the measures of how do we intend to address this within the sector to reduce that we are not going to have the carpet of enhancing greenhouse, enhancing climate change. I've talked about the policy one on the issue of the climate change adaptation plan that is for this draft. It's gone through the within the department. We also intended to set the broader plan during the course of the year and take it to the farming community for further discussion. One of the things that through the studies and also around as you go around within the sector that need to be addressed is our awareness. Most of the farming community or within the sector, they are not yet aware of what is this climate change. So I think that we need this to strengthen this program to make sure that we make them aware of these are the things that might be happening. In some areas, it's easy. In our last presentation, you know, there are some streams from our area that used to be there 20 years ago and nowadays are not there. So these are the things that it's easier for us when you try to make them aware that this is why we are talking about climate change. Things like this are no more, then we need to find out a way of now addressing the issue of climate change. So our next program is one of the major that we are undertaking within the department to make sure that we are all aware of the climate change issues. And we've got also the first programs within, as I alluded earlier regarding the mitigation and adaptation or risk reduction fund. We've got the research currently undertaken by ARC. One of the things that we have aimed to do during this financial year for the next 3 years is sensitivity to crop suitability. So that if ever this climate change is going to affect us, what are the relevant cultivar or crops that might be able to be suitable within the country by the time, so that we can either start thinking of or planning of what kind of crop will be starting feeding or even exporting. The other one is mitigation adaptation project. They're looking at the biogas generation from crop livestock as well as mitigation adaptation project. They are trying to combine that this program to say you might get something from the biogas generation used as a electricity, whereas on the other hand it comes to feed the livestock. So these are the combined project that need to be addressed. This is currently under ERC. We are planning as the years comes to unpack other research. One of the major research that we need to do is the vulnerability of our, especially smallholder community, to see how vulnerable are they and what are the measures as we go forward need to be taken by the sector. One of the things that maybe I can talk about is the current negotiation teams and positions that the country is taking. This, at the moment, this is today the last year of our colleagues are currently in Bonn trying to negotiate issues for agriculture. If you still remember in 2011 when we got COP17 here, we tried to push the work program on agriculture. Succeed even last year, but I got a good news from my colleague yesterday that the G77 China has agreed that this program needs to be taken to the next COP18, so that this is the initiative that was started here, and I'm sure when we come back, we'll be requested maybe to have the position, the broader, on these issues. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Okay. The other discussion is on land use change and forestry. The UCF under CDF, the position that we are taking up in those negotiations, South Africa will continue to support the position of Africans in the treatment of forest management. Because if you look at South Africa, we don't have really the forest that we can talk about. We know our Africans. In the DRC areas, they are more heavily forested. So we are saying we will support their positions. We are not going to be able to say that that's the position from us. The other one is reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation in developing countries. It's still the same. South Africa is of the view that the red is the important component of the NAMA, National Adaptation Management Action, constitutes within our general approach. So we also, from our side, that the procedures have been given national, at national level, that South Africa also makes sure that they support the broader red plus the issues. Okay. Maybe in conclusion, when you look at the climate change, we are still saying climate change is a cross-cutting issue. Earlier on, when there was a presentation on the animal health, we might not talking about, but climate change will also going to affect the pest issues. So we'll just have to look at those issues cross-cutting to see what then are the new pests that might come and how do we intend to address in the future. The issue of funding, but I'm sure with that little we have, we're still going to make sure that we approve, further approach national strategy to try to beef up our broader research funding in addressing the climate change issues. We know there's uncertainty about the extent of climate change. I had a meeting on the seminar yesterday. Some professors, they were saying, no, we cannot talk about climate change because there are sometimes when we have heavy rains that can also try to see what the dry condition has done, and these are some of the things that when you are really doing this plan, we need to also think of that uncertainty, how will that really affect our vulnerable community. So the broader knowledge within this climate change is really needed so that we can assist us in beefing up our adaptation plans. Thank you.
Okay, members, what is the briefing? What prompted us for us to have study discussion or a briefing? Among others, it is the continuous challenges that we're confronted with. To an extent, you have your disasters countrywide for our farms and directly impacting quite negatively. You have had some scenarios where there were even some disasters somewhere in the Western Cape and also Eastern Cape, and responses to such, they've been quite very, very slow. The one that has enough, you know, resources, who is established, can take the punch when it comes to any disaster. But that one who is still up and coming cannot afford. In fact, those disasters literally render that person or that farmer almost bankrupt. So those are the kinds of challenges. And then of course we've had a series of outbreaks of some of the diseases that have also warranted responses, immediate and urgent response. Also your vaccines from OVP, they come in quite handy in that regard, whether or not ARC shall have found itself ready. These are the kinds of issues that have actually prompted us for us to be able to get the kind of briefing that we get. And of course, overall, we are talking about matters related to climate change and the impact that it has on the farmers and the disease itself. I thought, let me just give also that background so that we get a more clearer sense of where we are coming from in this regard. Okay, members, Mrs. Spain, I saw your hand, Mrs. Parison, Mama Philip, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation, Chair. Before I ask my question, I'm also reminded that when we were discussing it last year, there was an issue between the funding that goes to the provinces or and then to the municipalities, and that there was supposed to be some kind of a plan from the department coming together with COPTA in a proposal on how will it be made easier. How can the flow of money be processed quicker? If that is my first concern, that because that was one of the challenges last time, and it's my first question again this time. So if I looked on page 14 and 15, I assume if I look at the amounts on page 14, this is the allocation. So that is what has been set aside for disasters. It's not for disasters that already happened. It's an amount that, should the disaster happen, that funding could be accessed. Does I have that correct or wrong? Or that disasters that already happened and it needs to be paid out, but it's not there. We're waiting for the money from Treasury. I need an explanation, Chair, on this thing that we went through very quickly on page 14 and 15. It was my concern also last time, Chairperson, and you made mention of, you said, you know, that farmers can absorb that. Most farmers can't, new or commercial or whatever. Farmers can't absorb this. I want to take an example in my area. In the Northern Cape, there was a massive house fire in not the last one, the one before that, in Colesberg area, and one of our neighboring farms was burned to the ground. All the fencing was burned. All the animals were burned. His whole farm was burned down, and there was a 10 or 15 farms burned out. And that guy can't survive, because now, after the fire 2 years ago, they're drought. So he lost all his animals, he lost all the fencing, and he sits with a drought at the moment. So it doesn't matter if you're a small farmer, a commercial farmer, if you have a massive disaster, most people can't survive. And if you wait 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, 10 years, for some kind of assistance from the department, you won't make. So I need a clarification on page 14 and 15, and I'm also reminded, I was just trying to see if I can find the answer, but I'll look for it. I know that there was a question from one of my colleagues in the NCOP that asked the Treasury Minister of Finance on these amounts that were set aside for disasters, because that amount, as far as I know, has been used by Treasury to fund and things in the next 3 years. But I'll be looking for that answer, Chair. I know we received an answer like that because of the fact that we went into a massive overdraft this year in our fiscal policy and framework. So if we're not going to get the money in the next 2-3 years from Treasury for disasters, we are going to be in trouble. And she reminded of that, if I asked the minister, we discussed it last time, the whole issue of 2007 Lang Kloof from funding. I received an answer back from the minister to say that those money was never promised to that community and therefore it was never given to them. So we need to get clarity on the 2007 Lang Kloof outstanding funding that was promised to that community, but apparently they now won't get. Chairperson, then on, unfortunately that page was not numbered, but it says challenges and action. That's the third or fourth last page. I'm extremely concerned about this challenge that says lack of capacity and disaster risk management at all levels. And then the action says correspondents are regularly sent to HRDs by DGs to indicate areas of concern, including capacity constraints. How will correspondents fix lack of capacity? Do we have a program of training in place where people are actually put through a system or a process of making sure that we build capacity? Is capacity obviously includes things like financing and personnel and all other capacity, or can I get more clarity on what capacity if the department speaks about lack of capacity? What capacity do we need? eventually the one just under that, an action of a feasibility study, DAFS is currently rolling out a study on disaster risk operations within the sector. This study will also investigate institutional arrangements and capacity. Is that linked to the challenge above? And when can we get something like that? I think it's very important that we do get something, and then maybe it will assist me with my first question on your cooperation with COCA and a process that we can see how can we make this process quicker and smoother. Then, Jefferson, just on the climate change and adaptation. I've been going to a few community groups where they've done some planning towards rainfall and drought patterns and proposals that they have received from independent people looking at proposals of what could happen in South Africa in the future. Was there any meetings between the government and organized agriculture or people, private people, to come up with some kind of plan of proposal and practical things that people can do to make sure that you start adapting your own farming business towards what could happen? I don't think anyone knows, but I personally think patterns have changed. The winter times is later. All kinds of things have been happening. So, in practice, what are you doing outside of just looking at plans and putting up processes? And I've just Googled on the website for the department two words. One is drought planning or something, not planning, but something like that, and disaster planning, and I couldn't find anything, not a document on the Department of Agriculture. So if you say you're doing these things, you're putting these plans in place and you're giving farmers practical advice, how do you do that? If I want to know if next year is going to be a year for drought or flood or whatever in part of, I know no one can actually say that, but you say that you are sitting in these committees and you're looking at this, but I don't find anything on the department's website. So how do you practically advise people on what to do? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Harrison. Mine is clarity on the implementation of the plan. To me, what is important is the implementation of this plan and implementation very quickly. I want to start with the drought. Drought is as we speak now in provinces, especially if you look at your people who are having livestock on communal land. Very difficult. No funding, no assistance. Extension officers are scared. To me, this implementation plan must talk to capacitated extension officers that are on the ground and not overseas. The challenge down there is extension officers being in office. They will tell you that my area is very vast. I'm talking out of experience in the Northern Cape, and when I drive through Free State, the areas of Jacobsdal, Pietersburg. Because it's agricultural area, I do pop in just to have a spot check. And the first thing I was looking for was extension officers. Jefferson, they're scarce. The capacity of capacitating extension officers is important because they need to be there on the ground. Because to saying that the awareness campaign is quite good and well, but they are the ones who have to be continuously being updated and on board of what is expected from them.
The floods, I want to know whether, is there a plan, integrated plan of Department of Water Affairs, let me say the relevant Vista Act departments. To think, the chairperson normally say we must think out of the box. And I think, chairperson, you have catered that from the president in a state of election address. Where you are saying that, let us not do business as usual. The fact is a worrying factor, chairperson. To me, there must be a plan, an integrated one of the different cluster departments, really to talk to a study that shows where can we build dams. Because this water is just going and going, and water that we can keep, because we are a water-scarce country. And with the climate change, it is getting worse. To me, there must be a plan that starts to talk to dams. How are we going to build dams in areas where you can keep this water for when there is drought, then you know at least this dam will assist and amakanala. The money that I will not spend, the person is also a worrying factor. And the problem that is not spending, I see, is the Northern Cape. As in yesterday, I wish I had funding to give the emerging farmers there. There is an outreach program, and people were kept calling me and say, can we ask this money from these people who are here? But here, it seems the money is not spent. I don't know if these things not raised at Moonmax. Because it's painful to know that people don't know, can we ask, how can we do, how can we access this? And I asked, is the extension officer not there at that outreach program? They said, no, he's not here. So what I want to know, do they have transport? I normally know the cry out is we don't have accommodation. But do they have transport to rope around? They cannot even work, but they must be mobile to move around. So to me, it's all about the extension officers to be capacitated, a plan that talks to them so that we can have a strategic intervention in terms of drought, and really the spending of the funding is also an important factor, although we don't know, because when we call provinces, the Northern Cape is one province that does a beach. It doesn't count. And, Chairperson, let me pause there, because talking here to climate change, it will also be frustration of the extension officers' awareness and how to get this plan to be implemented and where are we going to implement it.
Chairperson, ke a leboga molasu. Also on this page, it doesn't have a number, but it can be page 8, because next to it, one other page 9. Where I just want to emphasize on it, because my colleague talks about it, medication and prevention. You said there are no funds. The funds maybe is still with the treasury, or you are going to talk to the treasury. You know, I don't know. But the disasters risk management, it goes together, drought and flood. They go together. And it's like a cut across a department. It's not for only Department of
of agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. And I think this is very important, which the funds must be there in every department concerned for guarding against these two things. Because they are there, and they will never tell you when are we coming. They are just there. You know, climate change and the disaster risk management, the disaster risk, listen, it's like their cousins. They are just there, and they will be there. And we won't know what time and where this thing will hit. That's why we have to have funds putting together to guard against these things. And again, on page 9, you talked about the campaigns making our, the campaigns we can help. You know, you must realize that our people down there, even the small scale farmers down there in the rural, most of them, they can't read newspapers. They can't. And what they like most is the radio. If your campaign can involve radio, because that radio, you are able, when you are in the Eastern Cape, you know that you will speak Xhosa. When you are in Limpopo, you know that you are going to speak Pedi, Tsonga, Venda, Afrikaans, English. All those stations will be broadcasting. The languages which our masses, I understand that. If the campaign is about the newspapers and all that, it will never arrive to them. And I would like to ask you that when you do this campaign, it must not only be through newspapers. Our people can read, go through the radio. In all provinces, you have a Department of Agriculture. You have a Department of Rural Development in all provinces. And these radios are there. I think it's the best thing which we can use to make sure that our people down there, they know. On page 13, but it doesn't have a number. I'll just put this in there so that I know. No, it's the one which I have already said. So let's go to page 21. You're not going to write a page. You know, it's a page. That's easy. It's here, the challenges in a bit of the farmer to locate the breeding and good size, the reported failure outbreaks, is still the same. Sometimes, in my language, we used to say, prevention is better than cure. Again, really, it is better where these things they used to break outbreaks in such areas. In our province, I know between Koromelo and Mpumalanga, because it's housing in Mozambique, Kruger National Park, there I know is where most of these things can come in, including Malaria, and even the territory, whatever you call them, what. You have to have a sense of these things mostly, where do they come from? And you do cure Malaria paragraph. You do prevention there in advance. That's why this disaster risk management funds must be there to fight against two things. Let's go to page 22. That is the last one. More disaster risk especially our small scale farmers. Those are very, very, very important people. I'm not saying the commercial farmers are not, but commercial farmers, they are covered by many things. They are covered. They have everything. No. But this one, when you do whatever campaign, these people, they must know. Because most of the time, it's them who lost their livestock, their crops, their whatever, which they live on. And take note that these are the very same people who can make the economy of our country grow. If they are being taken care of or be informed in everything which is coming, these people they must know in advance so that if maybe they need Tivela Maluchi, they must do that. And when coming to adaption and climate change, since we don't have, I don't know where these people, what happened to them. Since we don't have the extension officers, and I think it happened since you know this term of office, we've been singing about this thing. Up to now, I think the department should say to us, you know, this time we have this number in all provinces of the extension officers. And it's like, Chaplain, it's like we are losing the fight. These people are not there. And I don't know what happened. Because they were there. Now, if you look, we really, yeah, all of us, we hate about it. Now, we even hate the those things which were helping us. No, these people were helping us a lot. Even if you want to do a backyard, a garden in the olden days, you will just call them. They will come and teach you how to do these things. But nowadays, I don't know. You know, why they are getting fat? You know, why they are worrying? You know, why could be like me? Why they are getting fat? I don't know where they are. And it's up to, I think it's up to us to make sure that these people, they come back. Department, I don't know why the guy. I don't know what these people, what happened to them, and what is happening in the department. Why don't they don't create space for these people? Because these people, Chairperson, they are useful to us. They are useful to the people down there. Maybe yes, commercial farmers, they don't need them, but the small scale farmers, they need these people. And if these people, even to make people aware. If we don't have extension officers, let's forget. Because, you know, there is nothing which you can do alone if you don't have branches to do the work. I would like to really, you know, I don't know it is still important to talk about extension officers because maybe I don't like to hear that in my mouth because it's long way been seen this long and there is no progress. Report on these things. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mama,
Chairperson, I have forgotten to mention that in the awareness campaigns, the department must please also recruit disaster managers because they are there. I know they are there. I worked with them. Now with the Bonteku ramp, a disaster in Namakoland, in Komakhatlentse. I asked one disaster management, well-educated person, what are you doing because he was helping us there? He said, no, I'm just helping out here, roaming the streets and picking up papers with that qualification. We do have the capacity. So I would also, in the responses, get an indication that the department recruit. We do have people who are naturally and who studied in that field. They are naturally disaster managers and they studied in that field. We do have. the recruitment must go with the campaign while we are in provinces, also recruit, because people are saying, although we are taking our cities to labor, we are never called to, and we see the disaster. So we are talking to people who know what to the work on the ground. This person I'm talking about, Jefferson, also helped us in Hartswater, in the Northern Cape, where a historical disadvantage, very good farmers with big, with a very huge livestock, beautiful, healthy livestock, because it's natural, it's born in the blood of the person. When the fire hit that site, it hit him very hard, although the Northern Cape doesn't stand. I don't know how the department addressed that. That very same person I'm talking about, he's from Namabaland, but he went down there and helped that side of the, because the Northern Cape is very vast. He went there and they offered his help to go and help, because he does have the skills, the expertise, he has the know-how. So the people are there. There is no need for the department not to have capacity. And we don't need have funding that go back to treasury, or funding that they not spend it, because the people are there. So it's professional. Although they are not in the, because our people don't have this luxury of being in the recruitment companies, what, because they are from a historical background. And they made it while financing about back. Chairperson, I would also urge the department to bring us the head of the extension officers to come also and appear, if the president is responsible nationally, to work with this extension officer. Let this person also come and bring a report to us about this extension officer in Kosiche.
Is that person under you? So if members, honorable members will recall, when we presented the APP at the beginning of the financial year, we indicated that one of our priorities is the extension recovery plan. The extension recovery plan is a priority for 2013-14, and perhaps that's the progress report that honorable member is requesting, that at a later stage we present to you what, in detail what our plans are. Just to address some of the shortcomings that have been pointed out. They do support our chair, but they're not necessarily under ourselves exclusively.
I was going through this presentation on the overall progress on climate change. Uppermost in my mind, I'm thinking a response to a question that says there are all the plans. And we, even on page 9 there, I'm making a point that says there is also a document that has been published, Climate Change and Agriculture Sector in South Africa. And then I'm having a question there that says as to how does this relate to improving the lives of that farmer for the better. So that we have plans and documents and policies that directly relate to what we want to achieve at the end of the day, bring about food security. Then on page 10, climate change programs. To an extent, they talk about awareness continues, best farming practices. And then I get a consolation when I read here drought-resistant crops, flood management strategies. And then it continues to talk about crops with shorter generations, and then it continues further about benefits. Improved water management and reduce the energy consumption for irrigation, and so on and so forth. To an extent, I'm asking myself a question as to where do all these benefits go to? Yes, they go to your farmers, but are we able to say, you know, we have these farmers that have since been benefiting on these programs and policies and plans? Well, that's another day. We always keep talking about all of these plans and strategies and policies being there, and they continue to be improved. But at what stage do we talk about implementation? I'm yearning for such, because I'm asking myself a simple question as to when we are going to be hearing the responses. So an extent might be very keen in saying, or rather asking a question. Let's identify the areas where these are best benefiting. And there have been such improvements. So that's what is critical in the work that we are doing. Call it oversight work. Because at another day, we should be able to say, we are making progress. When we got here, Mama, 2009, it's then that we started talking about extension services. We are almost out of our committee time. 5 years is almost here, next year. We still are talking about the same issue, extension services. So the question for me is, yes, we have all these plans and programs and budgets and whatnot. It's to see improvement. In other words, these all talk to implementation. Beautiful plans, beautiful policies, beautiful strategies. Out of this world, applied, is our basic fundamental question.
Thank you, Chair. I think you are now giving us an opportunity to respond. We have already indicated that there's a dedicated program in the Department on Extension Recovery, which, as the honourable members have indicated, they would like to get a progress report on. We make reference in this regard to one of the priorities indicated in the ATP for 2013-14. Chair, with respect to a presentation on success stories and the positive impact of our interventions, if we could then maybe in August come back with a compilation of some of those success stories. For example, in land care, which is one of the programs that you begin now to see impact on the ground, we do hold a provincial recognition in terms of awards that are given to those farmers that are beginning to take some of the information that we give to them and they practicalize it. So I think we will then do a compilation of some of our success stories. Because in the end, whether an intervention comes from climate change, from land care, from animal health, it has a final impact on what the farm produces as an entity. So we hope that we will bring an integrated progress update. Honourable Member then had requested us to give information on whether the expenditure is for this year, or, but we're saying these are allocations that are made for previous floods, and I think you on page 14, because when a disaster has occurred, funding is not immediately released. It is actually released through a particular provincial declaration process, through COPTA, the National Disaster Management Centers, and all of that, and then the allocation with our support or the request for financial support goes to National Treasury with the support of the Department of Agriculture.
and then the allocations are made through a DORA system. So perhaps this is what you're saying, the time takes too long to respond to. It differs, Chair. As you can see, on page 15, there's an indication of already what allocations have been made for the 2012 flood in Mpumalanga and the Western Cape flood in 2013. If information from the locality where the disaster has struck is not very clear and the verification processes are not, I don't want to use say credible, but if they're not convincing, then it takes too long. But I think sometimes when a disaster has happened at a particular time, we would, as beneficiaries, tend to put even damages that had happened prior to the disaster, and that verification has to be very specific. And the case in point here, I think, has been made of a disaster in Langtu of 2007, where there has been an indication that up to now there has not been a relief. But the minister is working hard on that, and I think certain pronouncements were made at the NCOP in terms of what will happen with the intervention for Langtu. So we do have the business plan that we collected from the province, and there is relief that is planned. It's in the pipeline. So the time differs depending on the accuracy of the information that is collected on the ground. We hope that the question that was posed to the National Treasury regarding the disaster allocations, I think once you have a clear response on it, we're not able to respond on their behalf. But with respect to Langtu, we're saying that Minister is very concerned about it. We have given her business plans, I think, yesterday, as recent as yesterday. We take note of the escalations, and there's a figure of about 63.4 million that we have put together to seek support. You are mentioning only one farm that we're not able to pick out in that list of business lands, because in the Western Cape alone there were 51 identified projects, and in the Eastern Cape 18 identified projects in the verified business plans that we have. So perhaps the firm that you have an interest on, if you can give us the name, we'll see if it makes, or it was just an example. Thank you. We will provide an update on those 51 projects in the Western Cape and 18 projects. We submitted the information to the acting DG yesterday with respect to Langtu and also with respect to Northwest. I think we would await a declaration by the province, and then the same processes we have said, and they would make an application which would follow, and we hope it's not going to take so long this time.
I forget. The issue of this declaration by the provinces is also sometimes problematic. Who initiates something like that? Would it come from the Department of Agriculture? Do you wait for someone in the municipality? And this is, Jay, one of the last time I also asked that I want minutes of these different committees and meetings and things that you're having. Because my information is, Jay, that sometimes people from the different provinces come to these meetings with nothing. And then there's a drought in these provinces. So where does the initiation take place? And that is a concern. Because you come to the meetings, you're not a farmer, you're someone working in an office somewhere in a city. You don't care if there's a drought going on, but you are representing the farming community there. So I really have a problem with the way it's being set up here. And I still want the minutes of those meetings. Because, as I said, my information is people come there totally unprepared. They don't even know that there is a drought or a flood or something. Usually it's problems with droughts, because if it's floods, usually municipalities are involved in the areas. And it's a no-care attitude. So where does the initiation process take place? Who asks or says or go to the branch and ask that this declaration be made? And as I say, I don't think it's so much on flats, because flats usually, there's roads and infrastructure involved. But in droughts, for instance, who initiates this?
And I think the main issue here that we're dealing with talks more to a need for collaboration in this respect. If you're going to have a local government, province, and national, all dealing with the same issue, at what point do you really converge to a point where you are to say it starts here and it ends there? I think we do not have that system. I think that's the major flaw that we have. Because it's an issue that directly affects your farmer. And that farmer does not have the luxury of time to wait for that tedious process. It gets rather very tedious. You are saying, Dr. Motiti, that in response to a question I was asking about, you know, the cycle, you know, it would depend, and also the extent in which information shall have come through, whether credible or otherwise. But you really must talk to the sensitivity affecting that farmer. The system as we speak now, clearly it does not respond to that sensitivity. That farmer is running a business. At the same time, that farmer is making sure that the people in South Africa have food. And if we're going to have such scenarios where you do not have a systematic and the collaborative process, we are certainly going to find ourselves in serious problems all the time without fail.
Chair, can I just have, I think we have a system. We may just not be perhaps using it appropriately. When there is a disaster, whatever form, in this case, if it affects our sector, whether it's a disease outbreak, every department has a focal point who will take that through and process it, whether it's going to start at the district municipality. There is a disaster management committee at the district municipality. It will go to the provincial disaster management committee. It will then go to the national disaster management committee. The inputs are all flowing through that, as well as in the case of agriculture, the same input that goes to the disaster management committee through the province to the national, it will also be submitted through the sector department, and all of those submissions will find commonality in the National Disaster Management Committee. So there is a system. We may just not, perhaps, not using it adequately. That's the first thing. Perhaps just also to say, the approach that is being used at the moment is that in terms of the feedback, the allocations, and I think Mr. Kakazi did indicate that the approach that is being taken is that ordinarily you expect people who are in business to take certain precautions in the event of a disaster. But when the disaster indeed is considered as a disaster in terms of being considered as an exception, it will then go through these processes to declare it. And in the verification process, you want to make sure that farmers did not ignore or did not neglect what they should have done ordinarily. In that case, indeed, the assistant within the limits of the resources that be allocated from the disaster management and from treasure would then flow. And of course, in the majority of cases, they are never adequate. We recognize that. And perhaps just talk to the issue of extension. It's true that we may be having a problem of capacity, but I'm sure that is not the only problem that complicates our responsiveness in terms of extension services. There are a number of factors. One of them, of course, is the fact that in the majority of cases, our monitoring may not be adequate. And not adequate because it is various levels of extension is being managed, but also not adequate that the majority of cases when people say they've never seen an extension office, do they know who the extension officer is? I know the provinces are organized along the municipality lines, along the service centers, and there is a service center head. Now people, and unfortunately because at the moment we've not registered farmers, the question is people who are saying they are not getting service, are they all of them farmers? Remember, you also have absentee farms. That's one side. But the other side is when people complain about the service, and I would want to add chairs, the members will be going to their constituencies. It helps if you say, I was in this particular area, in this particular service center, this particular extension officer, a name, did not help. It helps you to be able to track this up to that particular office. It helps for us to be able to call the particular office to say, can you explain what is happening here? I'm sure when it remains general, it's a bit difficult on the one side, but I admit we need to improve our monitoring system. We need to register officers, but as well as we need to register the farmers. Is this farmer in that particular area being serviced by that officer? We have given within the extension recovery program, the game book, which extension officers only are left to sign if they visit your farm. You know, what were you coming to do? Did they give the advice? If the officer claim he has been going there, we can verify that by going to the table. So it is, I agree, it is incumbent upon us to improve much more our monitoring system to be able to root out this problem. I don't believe that the capacity is a major issue. I don't think the extension officers now, actually they are better trained than the officers in the past that you were referring to. So they ordinarily ought to be doing relatively better.
Yes, Jefferson, can give the area. Can I start? In the Cape Harris area in the Northern Cape, in the Karoo Workland area in the Northern Cape, in the Harib area in the Free State, in the Beaufort West area, in the Western Cape. That's the area where I drive through, Chairperson, where I pop in my drive-through to my constituency and to my drive-through to my broader constituency, Chairperson.
Maybe what assists us more is for us not to get into those details now. Yes, it is important. If those are available almost immediately, we do exactly what Mama Police has done. But it is a matter of clear concern that has been raised. Again, if you are to talk about any form of support that is sustainable, that at the end of the day sees progress in terms of any farming activity, especially as you are to assist some of your black farmers, extension services is but critical. In fact, without that extension service officer, in most instances, you are literally failing that black farmer. Having benefited from any land reform program, that person or that farmer has to be taken through a particular process. Those are the kinds of issues I guess members are relating to. Maybe it would also be prudent that we allow the department, Dr. Mutito was saying, as you come back here sometime in August, you bring also those areas where you shall have been impacting positively in terms of your support programs. Okay?
Can I just do something that's... I must also say, in the defense of the point, in the areas where we did visit, where the farmers are actually moving forward, although slowly in some cases, that it's usually because they have a very good extension officer. So there's a direct link to that, Chair, and that is just to show the department the importance, and that's why we're going on about the extension officers. The importance of the extension officers, because usually you can find out there is a very good extension officer behind that farm that assists them and tell them what to do and help. So also a bit of a motivation for the department to come out and go and look and make sure that they find that the right people that put them in place.
I'm still on extension officer. Maybe in our next meeting, I think in every province we do have regions and municipalities. If maybe they can come with something which says, in Limpopo, we have so many. In that region, we have 5 regions in Limpopo, for example, and I know all the provinces has regions and municipalities, so that we may know that indeed these people, they are there. Because last time, I think in last year, the department ended up saying, finally, 113 those which are in training. I don't know, as I'm thinking now, are they finished training and where are they? That's why at the next meeting they can, province per province, telling us or not, where are these people? Thank you.
To add to what Honorable Mpilusa is saying, they have just bring us a printout with their names on it.
You want to conclude in your response?
Thank you, Chair. We definitely undertake to come back with the details that the Honorable Members are requesting. And I think the issue of insurance engagement and awareness raising among the providers of insurance to farmers is very critical, because we are trying to say, we know they try to shy away from some of these things that are high risk, but it is important that everyone plays a role together to try and ensure that there is food security in the country, because it is truly not possible for government to take that insurance for all the farmers, because they're in business. So the awareness that we're raising with the banking or the financial services industry also is seeking to get their sympathy towards the importance of sustaining agriculture. So I think perhaps some of those engagements also is what we need to report back on. Climate smart agriculture is what the department is trying very hard to promote. And the extent to which we are able to at some stages is limited by the international negotiations within the United Nations framework on climate change, as Mr. Hagat was showing in the presentation, that these are some of the negotiation platforms that we are trying to support. And just the terminology climate smart agriculture becomes very complex within those UN negotiations. But the department will be hosting an engagement nationally, which is a conference on climate smart agriculture for food security later in the year. Just as part of the engagement we're trying to have with all the partners to take this thing forward. And we hope that it will also address some of these concerns around the disaster risk management and reduction. Thank you.
Okay, then you want to conclude?
Chair, I just wanted to clarify, just ask in terms of clarity. We will provide the list, but I'm just thinking in terms of the usefulness. If we give you a list of 4,000 officers, will it really help? Shouldn't we rather give you the list of either the heads of all the districts, their contact numbers, and then you can distribute them amongst yourself. Who is interested in Limpopo, he will take that or that particular item. Who is interested, we'll give you all their contact details, and we'll tell you how many officers does he have in that particular region. So that as you go around, you know, you have 100 officers, you are Mr. So-and-so, you can contact that person also directly. I'm just saying, as we give you an information that would be useful in terms of monitoring. I'm just checking if that would help.
We want those names, obviously, the head of the different areas will be on top of the list. This is the head of this group in a certain province. because sometimes even these heads are not accessible. So we don't want to be at ransom with a head who is not even having communication down there with the officers on the ground, because that is what we experience on the ground. It is helpful, the head and the group under the head. Who are they? Where are they located? If they are there, we do have those lists. The example I saw in the portfolio of correctional services. We wanted those independent correctional independent correctional services visitors. They gave us the list, which center, here are the names, here are the heads, and we do have such an example. That is why I insist this of the extension officer. Thanks, Chair.
The issue is simple. We have many policies. Beautiful ones. We have many plans. We're going to have another conference, another workshop. At best, our interest here is to see implementation on the ground and the impact of which it has to be demonstrated. It can only be through seeing a better life being improved among those farmers so that they are productive. At the end, there is food security in our country. Now, these are the simple, straightforward issues that are of concern and interest to us. I think let's leave it at that point, wherein we shall have to dissect the report. Our main focus for now talks by and large to extension services. And then we take it from there. Of course, also very important as well is that collaboration insofar as that whole cycle of disaster risk management. So that's very critical. So that we have one stop, if you like, where you have reported case, processed case, and concluded case. To an extent, it might also have to tell us that there is a speedier response in terms of feedback to the farmers. We are not saying you must short-circuit, you must cut corners. But what is important is that, and it is doable and possible, that we can shorten period of time if everybody is found under one roof. I think that that's the basic point that we'll be raising here. I think those two are very critical. And then, of course, the broader issues related to climate change. And all those programs that are there, whether it is going to be drought risk and crops and those, whether or not our people are able to benefit out of those programs. I think that's what the members are saying. That's what we are saying. Okay. I'm not sure if we have any other thing. I saw Mrs. Nyalungu's hand up.
Sure. A question
about... Mrs. Nyalungu.
Can I see?
Thank you, sir. Mine is short. I just want to check from the 18th DG. What is he going to do to make sure that the claims of that disaster are adequate so that the farmer can get their relief money soon?
Okay. Chair, I'm also still not. We started asking questions while the department were answering, Chair. So I still want to find out on those two, that is 14 and 15. We need clarification on this, Chair, because the first bullet point on page 14 says implementation of blah, flood occurred between December 2010 and February 2011. So I want to know this amount, is this the flood between 2010 and 2011? So nothing of this has been paid. It is still waiting to be paid. But it's all the process has been followed. You have read the discipline amounts that's going to be paid out. And you are waiting for funds from Treasury. Is this where we are? On page 40. And then on page 15 there is another amount to almost 25, 26 million rand. Verification of floods between Western Cape and Papua Mpumalanga for 2011 and 2012. This is other amounts and other provinces and other sections. Please just give us clarity on these amounts. What is, why is it on two different pages? What is the difference between them? Is it one and this process and the other and that process? And then share what I also would like from the department as soon as possible, and I asked it last year and we still haven't received it. How many disasters have they been declared in the last, since 2009? Let's take it from there. How many, that means it was now declared, you have agreed that this is the disaster, this was the amount that was asked, this is the process where we are currently. Because, Chair, as far as I can understand it, if I look at this amount, we are not paying out. We, you know, because now we, this, the first page, section 14, talks about December 2010. We are in 2013 now. So how far are we behind on the disasters that's been declared? Where are we in the process? And I can even go so far, Chair, to ask, who has been given funding in disasters for drought? Because that's supposed to have lists. If it's a drought, for instance, it will tell you the name of this place, the farm name, and this amount. So when I said something like this, Chair, I would really like to get that, because I'm not sure that the funding is actually getting on the ground. It's floating somewhere. Chair?
Mama? Sorry.
Yes, Chairperson. Already we do have an allocation for 2013-2014, but you know, you see the next slide, page 50, it has these three provinces, and which they are not appearing in 2013-2014. What I want to find out is that this of 2012, last year, with the in other words, the monies are still there, and not, the money is not finished, because they are not budgeted for 2013-2014. Their money is still on 2012 budget. It is what I want to find out is that it means, yes, they do have that. If they use the rules of what we are seeing on page 15. If not, or if they do, they did, if they can have this a disaster concerning a drought, floods, and whatever, what is going to happen to these provinces, which they gave in 2012? Thank you.
Okay. Should be to the point?
As we say on page 15, these are 2012 disasters for which verifications have been done, and these are the verified amounts. The allocations have not yet been made. And then for the previous disasters, verifications have happened, requests have been put through, allocation have been done. But I think my colleague can explain. But the other information that has been requested for, that starting from 2009, which I think you're interested in the time when of this portfolio committee, that is information that we'll bring back as part of our report back in August.
Thank you, Chair and DDG. Yeah, just to give clarity on those amounts, the total amount that was given made available in 2010 and 2011 floods, it amounted to close to 1.1 billion. That was total amount. Now, the money was distributed within the MTF period. The first one was last year, the 3 years. So this is this allocation is only for this financial year. The previous year amount was spent, so they are continue spending. So this is only for this year, and we didn't really get exactly where they are now, but they are spending for this year, and there's also money for next financial year. But the total amount is amount to 1.1 billion. That money is available, and the province is going to be spending on the tour. In all? Okay. Yeah, I'm sure last time the presentation I had, but I will can give you everything else. Exactly. Anyway, the 15 page, I'm sure the DDG has explained exactly what. This money we have requested to National Treasury, and the minister has promised us that they will try to make this money available to the financial. Thank you.
I take it that we are done.
My question on the capacity problem. I asked this thing on that said challenges of action, lack of capacity. What does it mean?
You want to give a quick one?
Yes, thanks. Yes, I'm sure when you also were reading, also talk about the facility study, the level of capacity you are raising is at the provincial level that we currently don't have units. But because we went to the province and have a standard security, but they say that our challenge is we don't have fund to create those units to home bodies. And then we said, let's have a visibility study and approach National Treasury and give them this view to say, this is what we have and we want funding to create this unit to be effective in addressing disasters. Thank you.
Members, we did receive the documents for our next meeting, which is on Tuesday. That is done because Monday is a public holiday, so that there is no confusion. As I said also, the minutes, we have to read the minutes. We do not want to take time to read the minutes in a meeting. The approach that we got from Mr. Van Dalen, he also apologized for the next meeting of next week. Mr. Stwala, he had a flight complication because it's long weekend. Mr. Panga did not say why. Mr. Kerekulu, Ngozi, Mr. Gaila, there were no response or any explanation. Also from Mr. Abram. I stand up before you and I thank you. You're rushing for time. I'm also rushing for the same flight. That 1:15. The meeting stands adjourned, and thank you very much for your time.